If you're visiting today, we want you to know that we deeply appreciate that. That means the world to us. It means somebody invited you as their family member or friend. It means somebody cares enough to ask you to come and join us in worshiping God in a great place and in great harmony and unity. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for help making this day a special day. We also want you to know if you are in our area, if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to come and serve God with us here and walk with God with us here. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. One night about 11 o'clock as I'm dozing off to sleep, I get a call. It's from my nephew and he is frantic because there's a water leak in his house. One of the pipes under his kitchen sink has busted and he has water spraying everywhere. And so he calls me and tells me that he's been trying to find the shut off valve and trying to get this shut off. He's called the landlord. He doesn't know what to do. He's in full panic, as you might imagine. So, well, he lives in Sepulpa by himself. And so I jump up, throw my shoes on, jump in the car. I'm driving over there. And the whole time I know in my mind, water, I don't know, by the time he called me, I don't know how long it's been leaking, but this is, water's everywhere, okay? I know. And so I'm driving over there. I have my handy dandy shut off the water at the water meter tool and a flashlight on my phone. And so I jump out of the car. I don't even knock on the door. I don't go in. I go around the back of the trailer. It's dark. And I'm trying to find where this, actually I'm looking through the yard trying to find this water meter and where to shut the water off. Looking around, I go around back, I find what may be it. I don't know, but there's water everywhere. And it's filled up that water meter in the ground. That's full of water. Water's all over. Muddy, okay? But when I find what I think is the place to shut this off, I immediately drop to my knees, getting wet, getting dirty, muddy, and I've got to go down in this hole where you shut off the water. I've got to reach down there. In my mind, when I do it at my house, I can see and I get my tool and I turn the water off. Okay, so I can't see in this hole. But I'm reaching in there hoping there's not a snake in there. For all snakes should die. And I'm thinking, even if I find it, I've still got to try to use this tool to try to get it off. Meanwhile, of course, water is still spraying everywhere. Luckily, I finally do find it, and it's evidently we've updated our water meters since the homes I live in, and you can just do it with your hand, and the water is shut off. Have you ever been desperate? Do you know what it feels like to be in desperation? Full panic. We're going to read this morning about two people who come to Jesus, and they are desperate. They are in panic. One in particular, but they're both very, very desperate. So Mark chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet." This man comes to Jesus, and when he sees him, he just drops to his knees and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." Now, we learn that this daughter is 12 years old. Here's a father who's desperate. She is at the brink of death. She is dying. And he comes to Jesus. And he begs. And Jesus goes with him. Okay, let's go to her. Well, verse 24, "He went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him." So there's a massive crowd with Jesus. Okay, "There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years." So here we have character number two. Here's a woman who has been sick. She has had a situation of bleeding for 12 years. She's been able to continue to live but not solve this health issue. 12 years is a long time. Do you know what you were doing in 2004? 2004, my 20-year-old was 8, Liz was 8 years old, Sydney was 2. She was 2. In 2004, I had hair. I mean, 12 years is a long time. 12 years is a long time. This woman has had this issue for this length of time. This is a major problem. Think about what this has caused her. Do you think she struggled with weakness, physical weakness? This would have made her ceremonially unclean as a Jew. Continually. This means anyone who touches her would be unclean for the rest of the day. They would not be able to participate in Jewish ceremonial rituals. They wouldn't be able to go to the temple. They wouldn't be able to be with the congregation of God's people. Anyone who touched her would be unclean for the rest of that day. Or if they touched anything she touched, it would keep her from being able to, in our day, it would be come to worship together. You hear people say, go to church, that's go to be with the church, which is us, but she couldn't do that because she was continually with this issue that made her ceremonially unclean, and anyone who touched her, which means socially she was isolated. She had social problems, she had religious problems on top of physical problems. Do you think she was tired? Think she was sad? Do you think she felt hopeless? So she comes to Jesus. Verse 26 said, she had suffered much under many physicians, spent all that she had and was no better, and rather grew worse. On top of being socially isolated, ceremonially unclean, and sick, she's broke. She's gone to doctor after doctor, and things only got worse. You've heard the cliche, when it rains, it pours. If I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Adding insult to injury. Have you ever prayed about something, and it got worse, and you prayed, and it got worse, and you prayed, and it just got worse? I've heard people say, you know, the more I try to do right, the worse things get. This woman is almost completely hopeless. But she heard about Jesus. A couple years ago, or a few years ago, we painted Stephanie's classroom where she was teaching at her school in North Tulsa. We painted it, part of it painted it blue. Real nice color blue. Afterwards, somehow, one of those cans of paint, blue paint, gets in the trunk of my car. We're just putting things away, bringing it home, whatever, and it gets in the trunk of my car with the lid on it. But at some point, because I don't look in the trunk of my car a lot, it tipped over and it spilled quite a bit of blue paint in my trunk. And so when I find it, by the time I find it, it's dried. I mean, I kind of, you know, get clean up everything I can clean up, and I'm left with this blob of hardened, beautiful blue paint in my trunk. And it's, I mean, it won't get on you. It's hard. It's there. Okay? So, well, I'll just, you know, scrape this off of the carpet. No. It has become one with the carpet in the trunk. It's not coming off. And so, well, okay. So I can live with that. I mean, I don't really need the trunk that much anyway. I sure don't need it to be perfectly pristine. So we go along until it comes time to sell it. When I sell, usually I like to sell a car outright instead of trade it in. So I'm going to sell this car, and then now we have a problem. I got this big blob of blue paint in the trunk. When people come to look at the car, it might be a little disheartening when they look it over and they feel good about it, and then open the trunk. Here's this big pile of paint. So I decide, you know what I'll do? I'll cut off that, because it's on the piece that comes out of the trunk that lays over your spare tire. I'll take that fabric off. I'll get a new piece of fabric, trunk fabric, and put on it. So I go look for that trunk fabric to put on it. I go to different places. I go to a body shop here in town. I'm looking to buy just a, you know, 4x4 piece of this stuff so I can repair my trunk. Well, they don't have any of that. I look here and there. Nope, nope, nope. Finally, get connected with a wholesale company in Tulsa that makes all kinds of fabric on big rolls. And I go in there, and lo and behold, they have exactly what I need. They roll me off of a section the size that I need. I take it home, lay out my pattern, do my, you know, use seamstresses. I do a little bit of that business. Glue it on. It wasn't perfect, but it was great. Good enough. Problem solved. It's amazing how much better things go when we go to the right place to find the solution to the problem we have. Isn't it amazing how many in our world are going to all the wrong places to try to solve their problems? Oftentimes people will turn to things that are destructive. Alcohol is a big one in our country, probably partly because it's legal. It's easy. It's quick. It gets the job done temporarily, but it leads to bigger problems. There's a reason why Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I remind you that we have problems. The devil says, come over here. Come to this solution. Come over here. I'll help you. It doesn't solve the problem. God says, don't turn to that. Turn to the Spirit. Turn to me. Turn to the Word. These two people, they come to the right place. They come to Jesus. Verse 27 says, she had heard reports about Jesus, came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. You want to talk about faith? This woman not only believes Jesus can heal her, not only believes that if Jesus laid his hands on her to heal her, which he oftentimes did, he could heal her. She believed, even if I touch him, he could heal me. Even if I touch his garment, I would be healed. In fact, if we look at Matthew's account, in Matthew 9:20, it says that she touched the fringe. The NIV says edge. King James and New King James says hem. She touched the bottom. She found Jesus maybe on his sleeve. I don't know. She didn't just touch it with two fingers. She didn't just touch a part of it. She touched the very tip. Is that faith? Immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. 12 years, and now she's healed. Everything she's tried failed. Every doctor's advice failed. Things didn't work. Things didn't get better. They got worse. Things seemed impossible. And then she tried Jesus. Well, if we read on, we see that Jesus realizes that power has gone out from him and someone has been healed. He doesn't know. It's kind of interesting for Jesus not to know, but Scripture says, I'll tell you what Jesus did. He turned around and asked, who touched me? And the apostles, and I just think they have to be laughing, said, because this is a crowd and everybody's touching everybody. The only time I've experienced this that I can think of is at an OU football game, and lightning came and the announcer said that we need to get under the stadium. Well, there's, 85,000 in the seats. There's not 85,000 spots to stand under that stadium. So we go under that stadium, and everybody's bumping into everybody. I got closer to David Watkins than I ever wanted to be. Yes, you're touching everybody. And you can't go anywhere. Good luck, getting to a corner. There is no corner. And the apostles say, Jesus, everybody's touching you. But look at this. Many touched him, but only one was healed. Jesus knew she was healed. Jesus said, who? Isn't it true that many believe in Jesus today, but their lives haven't changed because of Jesus? I mean, I can believe in Jesus, but if I don't quit living my sinful life, what's happened? God doesn't want us to just believe in His Son. He wants us to be changed by His Son. And the word is repentance. I'm going to stop living my way. I'm going to live God's way. Well, she knows Jesus is trying to find out who healed her. And she comes back and she tells him that it was her. And he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Your faith has made you well. I don't know if we talk about faith enough. Remember in Matthew 21:22, where Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." If you have faith. And let me quickly point out a couple ways that you know, this isn't like a magic trick. It's not a formula. It's not abracadabra. James 4:3 reminds us, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." So I can pray to God with great faith and I still won't win the lottery, okay? Because I'm pursuing wrong motives in my prayer. Secondly, remember that I can pray and have great faith, and there will be times when God's will is something else. You think Jesus didn't have faith in the garden when he said, "Please let this cup pass"? But it wasn't God's will. So it doesn't mean that every time I pray and things don't work out right that I didn't have enough faith. But it does mean this. Sometimes God says no because I really don't have faith. And he wants to say yes. We need to believe. While he was still speaking. See, when I get to this part of the story, I forget about the dad. Remember the dad of the 12-year-old? You think, he must be a patient guy. He's pretty desperate. He come to Jesus. In fact, he was first. For all you people who are like me, that when you're first and somebody cuts in line, it gets a little irritating. This woman cut in line. Right? She cut in line. And while she cut in line, look what happens to his 12-year-old daughter. Someone comes from his house and says, "Your daughter's dead." No, you might as well cancel your ticket with Jesus. We don't need him anymore. Don't trouble the teacher any further. Now that's the opposite of faith. If you've ever had a situation that was bad and then it just went hopeless, this is where this father, this situation is with this child. But verse 36, overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." I have to think the father did. Jesus went to the house, healed the daughter. Immediately the girl got up, verse 42, and began walking. Some of you have heard us announce and talk about my cousin, Reagan Davenport, 15 years old, and requesting prayers. And the situation with her health, she, and I want to read kind of some details to you, but she lost strength, lost ability to do some things, and so it was a difficult situation with her health and not knowing what's wrong. We don't know what's wrong, but pray. And we prayed. June 2014, this is her mother, Cassie, wrote this, and I want to read it to you. June 2014, we went on our first family mission trip. We did everything that was suggested, got all our shots and malaria pills. From June 2014 to August 2015, Reagan seemed different. So, about a year's time from last August previous, seemed different. She slept more. She kept telling us she couldn't remember things and so much more. Took her to the doctor. The doctor said nothing was wrong with her. August 26th, we were driving to church. Her right arm went numb. By the time we got to church, her entire body was numb. We went to the ER. They sent us home after numerous tests, said nothing was wrong with her. We spent 1 week in the hospital. test after test, 5 spinal taps. If you know what a spinal tap is, you know what kind of situation this was. 5 spinal taps. We were sent home in a wheelchair and her hospital gown because she was so weak she couldn't physically get dressed. Nothing was wrong with her, no diagnosis. We saw over 18 medical doctors. We were turned down by Mayo, the Mayo Clinic. They said what they could do, you've already done. Still no diagnosis. Reagan was literally deteriorating right in front of our eyes. She was unable to feed herself, hold her head up, walk, bathe herself, or at times even talk. That's pretty tough. You know, in a situation like that, all you need is some little improvement. Right? Just something. Went to several alternative doctors. On week 12, a friend texted us about Heather Walters, alternative doctor. I called her. She said she was not taking new patients, but she wanted to know Reagan's story. So her mother, Cassie, shared that with her. 20 minutes later, she calls and wanted to see Reagan. We went in on a Thursday. She knew that Reagan had had Marilone toxicity, which is her body was full of toxins due to the malaria pills. Her body was not absorbing iron. Her iron count in the blood showed good, but her body wasn't absorbing the iron. Within 5 days of seeing this woman, Reagan started walking. I remember when our family gathered one Sunday, I guess after church at R.W.'s house, and I saw some of the family. I saw Cassie and Morgan, and I just assumed, I can't remember who I saw, but I knew Reagan was down. Next thing I know, she comes walking in off the back porch. It's been 8 months now. She is 100% better, but not quite 100% well. God healed Reagan. Prayers are proof. Reagan, come up here for a second. Let everybody see your pretty face. I want to tell you something else. During all this time of struggle with her health, I'm so proud of her family. I'm proud of her mother, Cassie, her father, Mark, her sister, Morgan. But I'll tell you something that blows my mind about this kid is she would say, "Mom, don't worry. I'm going to be better than when I was born." You talk about faith. I'm more proud to say I'm related to this girl than if she did any accomplishment that would make the headlines, because this one has faith that can move mountains. Thank you, Reagan. Our God is able. Ephesians 3:20, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That's God. That's His Spirit within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want to remind us this morning how big our God is. I want to leave you with a thought, a quote. I love this quote. And it says, sometimes we hear people say, "I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing. All I can do is pray." That's like a soldier saying, I don't have a machine gun or a bazooka or a cannon. All I have is an intercontinental ballistic missile. How big is our God? And how much will He do when we pray with faith? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. If you're here this morning and there's something that you need that we can help you with to walk better with God, if there's one here that's not right with God, maybe one who's never put on Christ in baptism, if there's something we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
Over all the earth, You reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that You reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in Your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, You are the Lord of all I am. So won't You reign in me again, over every thought, over every word. May my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause You mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't You reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in Your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, You are the Lord of all I am. So won't You reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in Your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, You are the Lord of all I am. So won't You reign in me again, You are the Lord of all I am. So won't You reign in me again.